Hey guys, welcome to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. I thought today was going to be a solo episode. I was really planning on it. Mercury is retrograde right now in the sign of Pisces. I felt that it would probably be better if I had my partner in crime, the other half of In Your Head podcast, Jay, come on and kind of keep things a little level. You know, Jay's a Cancer. He's got all that water in him with that Libra moon, which you guys know I hate, but he does keep the balance and he keeps things moving. And he also makes sure that I don't go overboard. During today's conversation or topic that I want to discuss, I got a little heated in the car when Jay and I were having this conversation, so I want to make sure it doesn't come across that way on the podcast today. I just need a little bit of backup and a little bit of, you know, kind of that smooth energy, as I said before. But before I announce Jay or intro Jay in, I want to give a couple of special thank yous. The first one goes out to Hannah Brown of Brown Eyed Unicorn. Thank you so much, my love, for coming on and sharing your amazing self with the In Your Head family. I've got so many people reaching out, cracking up over that episode. You came on and you fucking killed it with your personality. That is one episode that I will listen to over and over again when I'm feeling like shit, because you always manage to make me laugh. So I want to give a special thank you to you, my love, and let you know that I cannot wait to collaborate with you again. Cannot wait to do a part two with you. My next thank you goes out to one of my most favorite people of all time. This woman has my heart. She has my soul. She is my love. She is amazing. She is funny. She is beautiful. She is none other than Annabelle DeSisto of Adderall and Compliments. Thank you so much, my love, for coming on and doing you. You know, you are one of the first people that I wanted on the show. You have truly been an inspiration to me. In Your Head podcast would not exist if it wasn't for you. You helped me break out of that shyness. You helped me move forward. You helped motivate and guide me when it came to the podcast. I cannot thank you enough. I definitely cannot wait to do a part two with you and just hook up and just be around your amazing fucking energy. I love you so much, my love. Cannot wait to see you again. My third thank you goes out to the beautiful, the sexy, the strong, the resilient, the bad fucking ass, Marissa fucking Mendez. Marissa, you know I love you so much. You are my girl. I fuck with you day in and day out. You are an amazing fucking person. You coming on and sharing your story, that love story, if you will, the one that kind of went south, really, really opened up the audience's ears and really had people reaching out saying that they fuck with you and they recognize what it is that you're going through because they've gone through it as well. And it felt good to hear somebody speak on it. I just want to thank you for your strength, for being who you are, and learning all the lessons that you need to learn in order to grow and evolve. Again, you are living proof that my readings are actually being heard, because you have changed so much over the course of time that I've known you that it's just fucking amazing. So I cannot wait to do a part three with you. Cannot wait to do your show again. Cannot wait to hang out, get fucked up, smoke some weed with you, and just kick back and enjoy the company with each other. Because again, I love you. You are my girl. All right, guys, let's jump right the fuck into it. Let's get the show started. I'm going to go ahead and intro Jay in right now because, again, I need someone to rock with on this episode. I don't want the energy to come across angry or bitter or kind of shitty. So I'm just warning you guys, when it comes to what I do for a living, my readings, my mission in life, my journey, and also getting a spiritual retreat together, I really, really take that shit seriously, and I don't want it to be something that's hokey or too woo-woo or too love and light, because you guys know I'm not about that. So without any further introduction, let me intro Jay.
Hi, everyone.
So I wanted to have you on the show. You know that I wanted to do a solo episode, but you and I were talking about it. We had a huge blowout this morning about the way that I want to come across versus the way that you want me to come across here, which, again, I understand that you don't want me to come across angry, but I get very, very heated when it comes to this type of conversation.
I wouldn't say angry, but you're very passionate about what you're saying. And that's what I love about you, is you're very passionate. And sometimes that passion comes across very hard. And that's not what you are. I don't want people to think that you're a very angry person, or you're a very negative person, which you're not. You're a very positive and passionate person. And that's where people get confused, I think.
Okay. Well, let's jump back a little bit here. It's a good thing you're on the show here so you can speak on the amazing time that we had in Vegas. I want to back up to that time period, that weekend, if you will. It was February 10th. Jeez, it's already been a month since we've been to Vegas.
Wow.
How time fucking flies, right?
It didn't seem like that.
I know. Okay, so let's back up here. So we went to go visit Michelle Prentice. We had an amazing time while we were there. Mm-hmm. We went on a little bit of a mini spiritual retreat, right? We had readings done on each other. Yeah. I usually read you, but this time you had the opportunity of being read by somebody else, somebody that you trust. Why don't you talk about that for a second?
She pretty much talked about stuff that you mentioned before, you know, stuff that I need to conquer and stuff that I need to do, my passions. And it was very insightful for someone that doesn't know me like you know me.
Uh-huh.
Tell me those things.
How did you feel about it, though? Because there was a lot of, and you're going to fucking deny this because I know you. You're such an asshole. But how did you feel about, like, the tears and the experience that we shared? And don't you dare say that you were not crying because
I wasn't
you were
crying.
Oh, you're so
fucking it was all you. It was all you.
But how did it feel, though? Did it feel inspiring? Like,
it felt really good because it kind of confirmed what we've been feeling the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it just feels nice that there's going to be, like, a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Our hard work is definitely going to pay off.
Exactly.
It was refreshing to hear Michelle go in on your path and your journey and talk about all the creativity that you possess here, because a lot of times people think that you're just following me around.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think that they know. Well, I know for a fact they don't know who you are behind the mic, behind the glasses, and get to the core of who you are, because you are very reserved. You're very cautious. You don't open up to a lot of people here. And I always crack up when they're like, you know, God, he always follows Chris around.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, you're like the only one that actually really knows me. I
know. Well, that makes it impossible for people to think that you're an asshole.
Because... I'm not an asshole.
But yeah, it was an amazing time here. So again, it was nice to hear you get a reading and have the shit that I'm saying be confirmed by somebody else here. Mm-hmm. And it was also good to go in on Michelle and read her and bring all that stuff out with her.
Yeah.
But let's fast forward here. Let's fast forward to us getting back because, you know, I couldn't wait to get the fuck out of there. We didn't sleep for 2 days. I was all over the place. You can see that my energy was just...
It was,
drained.
Yeah, it was a very energy...
Draining time, yeah. It was. So again, we were supposed to record with her. That didn't happen. I wanted to get home. I wanted to get comfortable. I wanted to sleep a little bit. And I also wanted to get to writing everything that took place there, which I mentioned 2 episodes ago when it was my solo episode. Mm-hmm. About everything that went on in the house there and the experiences that I experienced when I came back. So fast forward to now here, you and I were driving to go record with Marissa last week. And we had an interesting conversation in the car. It kind of got heated, not between you and I, but my passion, if you will, got ignited.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to speak up on some shit. So I was asking you about Tony Robbins's mission, using him as an example, because he's a motivational speaker. I like to consider myself a motivational speaker, but from a spiritual standpoint, from a metaphysical standpoint, from a psychic medium standpoint here, we are two totally different people with two totally different missions in life when it comes to helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
I get shitted on, well, I got shatted on by you and Michelle while we were in Vegas because I was very passionate about seeing the growth and change in people.
Yeah.
And your guys' response wasn't a shitty response, but it's something that I can't fucking swallow. It is a very, very jagged pill with all the hooks and needles coming out of it. Hard for me to swallow, but I just don't, I cannot accept the fact that people are going to come reach out for help from me, get a reading, and not do anything with it. I know that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get him to drink it. But my mission here is to help people evolve, help people transform into the person that they truly are and get started on their path here. Recognize all their insecurities, all their fears, all their hesitations, and bring that out of them so they can float through life a little bit more freer.
Yeah, I think you put too much pressure on yourself to actually make a change, and it's kind of out of your control. I mean, you can only give your clients the tools, and it's up to them to do something with it.
It may sound a little shitty on my end here, but I don't want either one of our times wasted. I don't want my client's time wasted. I don't want my time wasted. That could be somebody else that could be coming in for a reading that truly wants to make a difference. I think, yes, learning about yourself here, because let's be truthful here. When I give people readings, it isn't your typical reading that you'd go get from a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
I always start with what?
With what they need to hear.
Right. Not what they want to hear. I think people have a more of a difficult time, or it's kind of different to come get a reading from me, because again, I go in on what's blocking you now. Mm-hmm. What's keeping you from growing and evolving in this lifetime here? What is holding you back from taking the next step here? And it's very revealing. It's very raw. It's very personal to that person. But I feel like that's what it needs to take in order for that person to grow, is to come to terms with who they are, not being shitty at them, not grabbing them by the hair and forcing them to look at themselves here, but not holding back here.
Absolutely. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But again, it's what they do with that information is up to them. You can't hold them accountable.
Right. See, again, I have a hard time with that, because again, if you were coming to me for change, like if you're going to pay me $300, let's say if I was going to pay anybody $300 for a 1 hour reading, for a psychic reading at that, mm-hmm. you know how I feel about psychics.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about people taking advantage of people for money and all that shit.
Exactly.
Here. That's why I want to give it. That's why I spend, first of all, that's why I spend more time than I should giving readings. A half hour session with me is usually 40 minutes, 45 minutes. An hour session is almost like an hour and a half, because that's a lot of money for you to be spending. So if I was going to spend $300 or even $150 on a psychic reading, it would be insane not to do anything with that information. Well, first of all, if especially if that psychic is correct and they're hitting everything that you need to know, or is revealing shit about you that nobody else knows.
Absolutely. And that's what makes you different from everyone else. I think that you put a lot of pressure on yourself wanting to help people.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that pressure sometimes, like you know, like you just said right now, you want it to help people so much that it's kind of out of your control. You know, it's out of your hands once you give them this information, unless you, you know, babysit them along the way. But that's not what you're here to do. You can't babysit everyone.
Yeah, that's just not realistic. It's not practical. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, again, my mission here is to help people evolve, help people transform, help people come into their true selves. And I just want to bring the best out in them. You've seen my past. You know everything that I've been through, everything that I've gone through in this lifetime. And I always say, take it from a dumb fuck like me, that if I can make these changes and I can grow and I can evolve with all the cards that I've been dealt in this lifetime here, I want people to realize at the end of the day, like I always say, you don't have to become a product of your environment. Mm-hmm. You don't always have to stifle yourself out of fear that it's going to be misunderstood or that you don't have what it takes to change.
And I think that's what made me gravitate towards you, is you being very genuine in what you're here to do. And same with your clients. You know, they can tell that you're very genuine in what you're doing. You really want the best for them. That's why you're relaying this information to them. And that's why you're very passionate, because you genuinely want to help people so bad that you have to accept that you can't help everyone.
And that's difficult for me, because in some ways, here's where I'll compare myself to you. I'm always giving you shit about your win-lose type of mentality,
uh-huh.
that you have like that very much of a athletic type of personality.
I'm very competitive.
Sportsman, competitive, there you go. That's the word I was looking for. But you, it's either win or lose with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it as a loss if I don't see the people evolving and growing after, again, I don't want them to do everything that I say, but I want them to recognize and make the changes they need in order to free themselves. Because again, a lot of times I'm reading broken people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading people that are going through some horrible shit, that their own mind starts to play tricks on them and they don't evolve out of fear again, or that hesitation. And I want to knock that out of them. I want them to come to the realization that there is nothing holding them back physically other than their way of thinking. So again, I take it as a loss. I take it as like, I failed. I did not bring that person into the light. I did not bring them on their path or make a difference in their life.
Like, I think you genuinely help more people than you don't. Again, I think you just put a lot of pressure on yourself to help everyone. You can only give people so much, and it's up to them to do something with it.
I just want them to make the most of the time that they spend with me, get the best bang for their buck, and I just want them to grow and ascend. That is my mission here, and if I am guilty of wanting that, I'll fucking take it. I'll walk through the fire for it. But I just want people to grow and evolve here, and I want them to not have anything hold them back. Again, mm-hmm. their fears, insecurities, the way that they were raised, or just things that were done to them here, that they have the power to outgrow and change that. So again, going back to Tony Robbins mm-hmm. in his motivational speaking here, I had asked you, what's the takeaway at the end of the day? Like, how, I mean, is it just about the money? Is it just about getting enough people to occupy an entire stadium for money and not really, I mean, if you choose to listen to it, you choose to listen to it. I understand people have free will, and if they want to spend thousands of dollars, like the Fyre Festival. I mean, come on. If that's basically what it is that you're getting duped for thousands of dollars and not doing anything with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about Tony Robbins, but with you, you know, you, like you said on your other podcast, you will read your clients a certain amount of times, and after that, if they don't do anything with it, you know, you're politely going to turn them down, because...
cut them loose.
Yeah.
I want to do something different with these events. I had talked to Michelle about this and a couple other people about doing these spiritual retreats and these events here, and I want to do something completely different that has never been done before. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put the idea out there because I don't want people stealing my shit. In order for this to work here, there has to be results.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that this is coming from a metaphysical place,
mm-hmm.
a spiritual place, truth.
Yeah, I think you provide all that.
So when talking about this here, I was thinking about, you know, doing these retreats and maybe, you know, getting 20 people together and kind of vetting them, if you will, lightly vetting them here, because I mentioned that I don't want to bring on people that are a little bit more evolved than the other person here and making the person that's a little bit less evolved feel bad for not being on the same level as that person.
Like advancement and
exactly. Where they're at. So I want to kind of bring around the same types of people here and do this retreat here and dig deep and bring out all the fears and all the insecurities here, have the workshops that we need and all the tools that they need to succeed in life right before they get ready to leave here. And mm-hmm. again, what they choose to do with it is totally up to them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're coming back and they're spending more money out for the same issue,
mm-hmm.
just like my readings, like you said here, I think we've already established one of the rules that they're just not going to come back.
Yeah. I think that's the major difference between you and everyone else, is because you actually care. You know, like we talked about before, you know, they're taking an extra spot that can be beneficial to someone else. Mm-hmm.
There was one podcaster that I did a podcast with just mm-hmm. once that reached back out to me to go have dinner with them, and they wanted another reading.
Uh-huh.
And I remember sitting down with this girl. We went to La Escuela, and she was like, okay, I'm ready for my reading. I said, okay. I started to go in about things that were holding her back that she needed to overcome
mm-hmm.
before she moved forward in this lifetime. And what is the first thing that she told me?
That she only wants to hear positive things.
And I shut the reading down. Not to be a bitch. Not to be spiteful or to be rude here, but in order for her to receive that positivity and receive that fucking energy, she has to be real with herself. Mm-hmm. And this girl was, my favorite word, delusional, and only wanted to hear the positive things here. I understand being in a positive mindset, but let's be realistic here. When there's good, there's also bad.
Uh-huh.
And if you are not getting what you want here, or you're meeting resistance when it comes to achieving some of your goals or your dreams here, what does that tell you about you? What are you doing wrong that's not allowing you the opportunity to receive those blessings,
mm-hmm.
right? There has to be something blocking you.
There has to be. Again, everyone has negatives about them and positives. Mm-hmm. And in order for you to grow, in my personal opinion, that you have to fix those bad things about you to become a whole person.
Exactly. And this person was just not ready to hear it. And this goes into my past life conversation that we had with a couple of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I am not trying to take away your experience when it comes to past life regressions and all the information that you receive from doing that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing with it is, how is that helping you and serving you in this lifetime? What are you doing with that information? How does that make a difference with you and what's going on now? So again, I don't believe in filling people's heads up with bullshit. I said it before, I can definitely read people's past lives. I am not concerned with who they used to be or what they used to do. I am more concerned with the lesson they didn't learn that bleeds into this lifetime here and how we can fix it and evolve the soul. Because I've said this over and over again, whenever I give a reading, the first thing that calls out to me, and I know this sounds woo-woo and it probably sounds a little bit too out there, but it's the soul. The soul is telling me what to tell the person and what is holding them back here. The soul wants to be free. The soul wants to evolve. The soul wants to take over. That's what I want people to realize, and that's the message I want to bring out to them.
I completely agree. I mean, like you hit the nail on the head. How is it helping you now? How does it help you progress as a person now?
Right. And I think people mistake metaphysical or spirituality, past life regressions, if you will, all the stuff that entails or that incorporates, encompasses spirituality as
it's illusion. A nice story.
It's a nice fucking story. It's all make-believe. And I feel like they live a lot of their lives in this fantasy world mm-hmm. and want to hear all these great things about them here. But again, that is only a fucking distraction. And you know how I feel about distractions.
Yeah.
When you and I first met, I wanted to take what your guides had given you in this lifetime, what you were born with in this lifetime, all the skills, all the traits, everything that you possess, the tool belt, if you will, your tool belt of life. I wanted to dump that out in front of you and say, here's what we have to work with. How can we make the best of what we have here?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's tool belt of life is completely different from the others.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to think I brought the best out of you.
Oh, of course. You definitely have.
I mean, you and I have experienced, I mean, over the 12 years that we have been friends, we have gone through so much and experienced so much in this lifetime. It's fucking insane. So going back to the spiritual retreat and all the Tony Robbins stuff, if you are paying me to give you a reading and to tell you what's holding you back here,
mm-hmm.
again, I don't claim to be the best psychic in the world. I claim to be the best at what I do. So if you trust in what I'm saying here, trust in the process that when I tell you that I want you to evolve and I want you to grow, that's exactly what I want. I don't want anything in return other than to see you be where you need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not take excuses. Like, again, how many times can somebody come to me with the same problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for you, it's not about the money at all. It's about actually helping people.
It is.
That's the difference between you and everyone else.
I think the world is so fucked up and it's been taken advantage of by so many different fucking people that it's hard to believe that somebody actually wants good out of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I need to pay my bills at the end of the day. Yeah. I provide services just like a doctor, just anybody in their profession would.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I make my living here.
Yeah.
But I also, the satisfaction that I get after seeing somebody come into who they are, like Marissa. Mm-hmm. We'll use her as a quick example.
Yeah.
Marissa completely went out of her comfort zone in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
She did something that she did not think that she would have the ability to do, which is put herself out there.
Mm-hmm.
She gave everything she had in this relationship. It did not work out for her. She could have easily have buckled down and said, you know what, I'm not doing this again, and resorted back to old ways.
Mm-hmm.
She learned her lesson from this. She's moving forward here. That's exactly the kind of stories that I want to tell. I want people to use that as an example for themselves. I want them to grow, and I want them to change into who they are here and be proud of themselves at the end of the day here and realize the only thing that was holding me back was me. Chris helped open my eyes, but I did the work.
Exactly. And that's what you want people to do. You want people to make positive changes in their lives.
Uh-huh. What were you so afraid of, though? Like, how were you afraid that this was going to come across? I mean, I'm very obviously very passionate uh-huh. about this, but what were you worried about?
I think that when you talk by yourself, you don't have anyone to bounce back and forth with. You go really deep into the tunnel of how you really feel about things. And sometimes your passion can be mistaken as something else.
Well, we had that one person that we met up with a couple weekends ago that had said that she listened to the friendship episode,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, God, he sounds really angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, to an everyday person or somebody that doesn't know me, it might come across angry, but at the end of the day, I'm speaking on what everybody else is thinking and what they want to say here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to call bullshit each and every time, especially if you're a bad friend. So I wanted to definitely have you on here to kind of, again, just help balance out the episode and kind of, I mean, Mercury's in retrograde right now, you know, so communication and the way shit comes across is going to get fucked up anyways,
uh-huh.
especially in the sign of Pisces where people are going to be extra sensitive to shit. So, and my moon is in Pisces.
I was going to say, is that why you're so sensitive?
Yeah. I'm just passionate. Again, if I'm going to make change
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to attempt to make change, I want to see results here, and I want the people to see results here. I want them to know that they have it in them to change for the 100 millionth time here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them living a life of illusion or fantasy here, going to see psychics, going to see mediums, going to see past life regressionists, hearing all this hoopla only to satisfy their fucking ego and not do anything with it. Because at the end of the day, here's where my problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to move it along here. If you're going to write books, or you're going to attempt to be a motivational person, a person that helps people evolve in relationships, friendships, life in general here. If you're writing about it, but your life reflects a different story, how much longer do you think you can keep that facade up? Because that's my one question here. I'm looking at the books that people are writing, and I'm looking at the shit that's coming out of their mouths, but their lives don't reflect it. I cannot speak on shit just for the money part of it
mm-hmm.
or the fame part of it here. Heather's words will always haunt me. Her saying that every time I see somebody going in a very streamlined formation, it's the blind leading the blind, the sheep leading the other sheep here. She's like, you always want to throw a zigzag in there.
You do. You always go against the grain.
I have to.
Yeah.
Because people are so fucking conditioned to go along with what everybody says here. So going to my talk with Tori.
Mm-hmm.
Tori and I met Tori through Bruna and Nikki.
Uh-huh.
Tori's a DJ. She's also a hip-hop artist and also now model, because I'm seeing modeling on her Instagram. She's a beautiful woman,
mm-hmm.
but she's also very spiritual. She has a very Scorpio type energy to me.
I can see that.
And she's very mysterious.
I was gonna say she's like has that dark vibe to her almost.
She's got, yeah, but it's not a shitty dark vibe.
It's not, yeah, like just more like a shroud, I guess.
Uh-huh. So I got to meet with her at Aroma Cafe over there in Studio City. We had a conversation about spirituality, and I was talking to her. I don't want to give too much away about it, but we were talking about people's energies and some people that come back in this lifetime that were either reincarnated from a past life as a person or came back as energy,
mm-hmm.
or their past life was that of energy. And sometimes the way of the world and the way that they came in here, the soul, the essence of presence, doesn't like the way the world's ran today. It's too fast for them. It's too electronic. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like our good friend that passed away.
Yeah.
When I gave him the past life reading, it was very much 70s, 60s type vibe.
Mm-hmm.
He was a person with issues. There was substance abuse and all that stuff there, but he was a person and came back a little bit more meek with some restrictions, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There was issues with his hearing. There was issues with his body type that he had here. But I feel like the world was too evolved for his soul in this lifetime here, and it was too fast.
I can see that.
So with Tori, when Tori and I were talking, whatever, Tori to me represents energy. When I was connecting with her, I got a headache the way that I used to get with our roommate. I was talking to her about that, and I immediately got that headache. I was like, your energy is off the charts here. I have a feeling that you were energy-based before, and I know that sounds weird. And I was like, you just remind me of, like, colors for some reason, and I kind of feel like your mission in this lifetime here was to learn how to be human, that you came back here to be a human being and to experience the human experience here.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't really want to be here. I'm not saying that she wants to commit suicide, but she wants to be free. She wants to be flowy. She's got a very, very free-flowing type of energy. Like, I can't, like, if I gave her this analogy, I was like, I like to categorize people as X-Men. I know that you find that goofy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that everybody has their own ability and their own power. And I pictured her X-Men ability, or what she would look like as an X-Men character, as being in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
Of just swirling energy. It could talk and it could change color, almost like
a cloud.
Yeah, but like an octopus, or is it an octopus or squid that changes color, or is it both?
I think it's both.
Like their color changes.
A cuttlefish changes colors.
That changes that changes according to its mood. And I feel like it can definitely communicate, the energy can communicate on a very energetic level here, but her being a person is too restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if it was left up to her, like sound and music and being able to kind of float and go up in the sky, go in the water, and just be part of elements,
mm-hmm.
is soothing to her for some reason.
Because she's not like contained like in a human body.
In a human body. Uh-huh. And I think being in a human body, I know that sounds so fucking psycho. I'm sorry, Tori, if I'm making you sound fucking weird. That's not my intent here. But I just want to share with the energy that I get from you is very much like that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there's nothing wrong with being that way. So going back to the retreats and things like that, I want to tap into people's past lives. I want to tap into their energy field. I want to bring everything out in them that they can look at as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
and like, work with it in this lifetime.
And work with it in this lifetime and learn how to adapt, grow, evolve, transform, mm-hmm. and to become the person they truly want to become here without thinking that they're fucking weird. Obviously, we can't save the world, or I can't save the world, and I can't help everybody. There's mm-hmm. people that are too stubborn, resistant to fucking change. And I know a lot of people want to say, you shouldn't say one person is hopeless. But let's face it here, there are people that are self-sabotaging.
Absolutely.
We know a couple of them.
Absolutely.
We had to get rid of a couple of them that just were not willing to bend, that we're not willing to, and you say I'm stubborn, but at least I
acknowledge it. There's, they do acknowledge it, but they just can't do anything about it. I think they're just stuck.
That's insane to me. If I gave you the tools, if you asked me what is wrong with you, what do I need to change, and I tell you and it resonates with you and it fucks with you, why wouldn't you want to change that about yourself?
I don't know.
Just so I don't come across delusional, and since you know me better than anybody else here,
uh-huh.
Do you think I've evolved?
You have. It's been difficult for sure, but you have changed and evolved as a person. You're definitely not the same person you were last year.
100% saying that.
Yeah.
Not fucking just telling me what
I want. No, I'm not telling you that. Like, I'll totally shit on you if I could, but...
I like to think that I changed so much that, again, I told you this before, sometimes I don't recognize who I am. I think that I've grown and evolved and learned so many fucking lessons about myself, about other people, about my abilities and the way the world is, that I'm not as... I used to be terrified of losing people.
Mm-hmm.
Making changes, making adjustments here. I used to be terrified that there would be a beef between you and I, mm-hmm. that would end or destroy our fucking friendship.
Yeah.
And now, again, I still fear that. I never want anything bad to happen between both of us.
Mm-hmm.
But when the time comes, because we both know that we're going to go, obviously, get into our lives. I'm going to get involved in a relationship. You're going to get involved in a relationship. You're going to get married. You're going to squeeze out a few puppies. I'm going to get married. I don't know if I'll squeeze out a few puppies.
You can try. You're definitely going to try, though, right?
Yeah, squeeze in a few puppies. But it doesn't scare me anymore, because at the end of the day, as long as you're happy and you get what you want, that's okay for me. And I know that you're in good health.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you before, I don't watch the endings of movies sometimes or the endings of reality shows because I hate goodbyes. I hate that shit. But now, again, with everything that's gone on and all the changes that I've made and all the people that I've let go and doors that I've closed, it no longer is an issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm not afraid of it anymore. I actually welcome it and just not hiding from it anymore.
Like you said, it's part of growing. You yourself evolving and growing and facing your fears and rolling with it.
Michelle brought up a good point. She said that, I'm obviously 8 years your senior.
Well, that's it?
Shut up, you bastard. I look younger than you, though, for sure. I don't have as many gray hairs as you do. That's
oh no,
for goddamn
that's
sure.
For sure. I do have gray hair.
Isn't it insane that I get gray hair inside my nose? That's the only place that I really get gray hair, and then on my sideburns. I don't have it anywhere else. But anyways, I'm just bigging myself up right now. You have it all over your goddamn head. But going back to what Michelle was saying, she was talking about like the age difference between you and I. She's like, you are in a different age group. You're at that age where you're coming into your lessons and you are starting to recognize that, you know, things that need to fall off or evolve. Jay isn't there yet. And I was like, that doesn't make fucking sense to me. I get what you're saying. I know it's a level of maturity. We'll go back to what you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're coming or you're living with a psychic, or you're going to see a psychic for advice and they're giving you a full honest reading and they're telling you what you need to change and you, again, you resonate with it, you fuck with it, why aren't you making the fucking changes? What is your fucking excuse? I'm not talking about you personally, but again, the person, doesn't matter if the age group.
Maybe they're just not ready to make the change. They just want to listen and hear it, I guess.
That's so odd to me. Like, I don't understand it. For those of you listening out there, I want to hear your take on it. I don't want to come across angry, bitter, or bitchy when it comes to people making changes here. Again, I just don't see the point in wanting to learn and wanting to grow and evolve if you're not willing to put the work in, or you're willing to put 80% of it in and not recognize the 20% that you need to let go of, or the things that are holding you back. Like, again, let's talk about relationships. If you're not involved in a relationship, what is holding you back? Is it that you want to control that person? Is it that you don't want to give up control? Because I know people that are saying they want to be involved in relationships, but they don't want to lose control or sight of who they are. They have this certain image of themselves that they have that they're not willing to let go of. They're not willing to bend here. Well, then you're going to be alone for the rest of your life, or you're going to get involved with somebody that's going to be a little bit weaker than you are, and then you're going to end up taking it out on them, and the relationship's just going to fizzle out.
Yeah.
So again, why not correct everything, go through the fucking fire? You're obviously going to get burned. You're going to come out fucking scorched, but that skin starts to fall off. The new skin starts to reveal itself, and a new life starts to emerge.
I think for most people, that change is very scary, to give up that much control over themselves, to experience the change.
But isn't it worse holding yourself back and being afraid day to day, or not having what you truly deserve?
Absolutely. I mean, so, you get pick your poison, right?
I'd rather walk through that fire and get burnt to a crisp, and then let that old skin fall off and the new me emerge, because I'm ready. This is what I truly want here. I think a lot of people love the idea. Like, I know we're going in circles here. A lot of people love the idea of growth, transformation, and change here, but don't want to put the work into it and don't want to go through the pain or the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for you to grow, you have to go through that. There is no avoiding it.
Yeah.
And I've seen this over and over again. I don't give a shit whether you believe in past lives or not.
Mm-hmm.
If the soul doesn't evolve, the soul comes back and has to repeat those lessons, even in the case of suicides. You can't escape lessons.
Yeah.
You can't escape who you are or what you need to go through. Look at all that I've been through. Look at the way that I came into this fucking world.
Yeah, ever since we first met, and that was the first thing you told me. It's like, you know, do you want to come back and learn things the hard way or relearn the lesson? And that's stuck with me ever since. I don't want to come back, and I don't want to learn things the hard way. So, I you know, it just depends on the person.
I remember that conversation that we had with David Omen, mm-hmm. the Omen House, yeah. The house that's three doors down from the Sharon Tate murders.
We got to have him on.
We definitely have to have him on. Excuse me. But I don't think David would ever cop to being a psychic or a medium or a channeler. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that he is. And I don't know if I shared this with the audience about my reading with him. Did I say something about it?
I don't remember. I'm not sure if you mentioned it on this show or not.
Okay, well, just really fast here. David Omen is the owner of the Omen House, which again is three doors down from the Sharon Tate murders up there on
Cielo Drive.
David and I are really good friends. I've gone to his house a couple of times. I read his house. I did a Jimmy Church show episode over there for Halloween. Got to hang out with him. He's an amazing fucking person with an amazing personality. He's just an all-around good guy. Well, he's also sensitive. He's also very much a channeler, I think, and a psychic. And we were sitting in his living room. We were about to get stoned. And this was me, you, and our roommate, the one that passed away.
Yeah.
And I had asked David, give me a reading. And he said, I don't do readings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let me hear what you have to say. I was dying to know.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and he said, okay. He said that he speaks to Sharon Tate, that Sharon Tate comes to him,
mm-hmm.
that he's very close to her, that she's a spirit that comes and visits him often. I don't discredit him. I don't take that away from him. I also feel like that is his psychic ability as well, obviously, tapping into different stuff. He looked at me and he said, you have to realize that you are not God, that you can't save everyone.
Yeah.
That you have to learn how to let go of things like that, that not take it so hard when people don't evolve and grow.
Yeah.
And he looked at our roommate, mm-hmm. the one that passed away. And I'm not going to lie, scared the shit out of me. I felt it to my core. I was a little shitty afterward, remember? I was kind of like, I don't want to go back there. Like, yeah. He said some shit or whatever. No disrespect to David. It's exactly what I needed to hear, but it shook me to my fucking core because I knew exactly what he was talking about, and I felt it, and I knew that time was coming. 2 months later is when all the shit went down with him.
That's, yeah, I remember.
When you tell me that you can't help everybody, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get him to drink it here, that is a fucking problem to me. Because again, if you want to make these changes, why not do it? Why are you sabotaging yourself? What good is it do to hear all these great things about yourself but never realize your greatness?
Yeah, like you said before, sometimes they just want to sit there and just have it come to them, you know, without putting the work in.
Okay, so anyways, what else do we want to talk about on today's episode? I kind of feel like we spent a lot of time talking about this conversation here. I get the point. Duly noted. I understand that I cannot save the world, that I am not God, that I can lead a horse to water, but I cannot make them drink it or drown their fucking face in it. I'm well aware of that here. But my mission, my goal in life is to help people grow and evolve here. And God damn it, I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to ensure your growth and your transformation. That's all that I want here. And if I'm passionate about it, it's passion.
Yeah.
It's not anger. It's not bitterness. It's not resentment. It's not strife. It is the passion to see you excel and grow, and for you to finally fucking be free. So let's get into some spiritual stuff, some kind of spooky, eerie ghost stories, if you will. God punished me. I hate saying that, but it's true. I wouldn't say God punished me for all those religious people out there, but I got fucked. Somebody asked me if I ever experienced, it was Annabelle DeSisto, sleep paralysis
on her
episode.
Okay.
Yeah. So 2 weeks later, this was last week, I was sleeping, obviously, and I don't know. I'm going to say it was an outer body experience, but I could not see myself. I thought that I was awake when I was really asleep, and I was trying to call for you.
Mm-hmm.
I could not fucking move. I could not move my body, and I could not, for the life of me, say your name. I was trying to scream your name out loud. I was trying to say, Jay, Jay. I could not fucking do it. I could not move at all. When I'm telling you that I was paralyzed, it was like, it wasn't like somebody was holding me down. It was like my whole body, except for my head, was stuck.
Were you panicking?
No. Here's the thing. You would think that somebody like me would panic, that I'd be like, oh my God, I was mad, actually. I got upset. I kept saying, let me go, let me go, let me go. And then I remember having the ability to say your name out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You said you heard me from the other room, and you came in because you thought I was calling you.
Yeah.
And I was asleep. I swear to God, I'm not kidding you. I thought I was awake. I thought that I was, when I said your name out loud, I was able to say your name. I thought I was awake and was calling out to you as awake. And that when you didn't hear me, I fell back asleep.
Right when I heard my name, I walked in, opened the door, and you were sleeping. Like you were still like shit.
Snoring.
Your tits were hanging out and everything.
You're so dumb. But yeah, that's my first experience with sleep paralysis.
What do you think it was? What do you think caused it?
I don't know, honestly. I just felt like it was an experience. I know it sounds so fucking corny and so cuckoo, but I think it was an experience that I needed to experience for myself. Because I swear to God, I've never experienced sleep paralysis before. But I wasn't asleep. I was awake. I was watching everything in the room. I saw the light of the clock. I saw the time of the clock.
Do you think it was alien related, like the weeks before?
I don't know, you probably think I'm fucking crazier than shit, but I was thinking about that because I've been feeling that type of energy lately.
Yeah,
and I am, you know what? You had asked me, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you scream my name when you saw it?
Saw the aliens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or that it was an orb.
The orb.
With that black shadow there. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Maybe subconsciously I was scared that it was going to take one of us. But at this time, I know it sounds weird, and God, I don't know, I'm even having a hard time saying this right now, but I would not object to going just to see what it's like, so long as I get to come back.
And come back in peace.
In peace or with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling that they're trying to communicate with me. Here's another thing that I was going to talk about too. This goes along with the helping people out here.
Mm-hmm.
You people are going to be sorry. Saw this in a dream. I told you when I dreamt that time that the buildings burned down. This is when William Cooper was coming to visit me. Yeah. He was telling me about the conspiracy theories and the power of man and the greediness of man, and all the buildings were burning and stuff, and people were running out. There was ash and smoldering buildings and fucking smoke and fire everywhere, and people were crying. Grown-ass men were crying. Women were crying here. And I know it sounds shitty, but I was witnessing it. I wasn't there. I wasn't in form. I guess I was in spirit, if you will. And I was telling them, what did you expect was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen by doing what you're doing? How much longer do you think the world, the universe, karma is going to let you get away with what you're doing? Mm-hmm. And now you're crying about it. So going back to when, remember how passionate I was about like, the, again, I'm not bitching, you guys. Please don't think I'm bitching here. It's just, I don't like people using spirituality or the metaphysical world as a form of sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into that fucking bullshit. It is very much real. So I was thinking about that because I started to get in my head with stuff, no pun intended, in your head, but I was starting to think about everything that you and I were talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know what? I actually posted something on IG, on my IG story, saying, don't shoot the messenger, only time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked that people retrace their steps to see if they've evolved and they've grown. I spoke on that on Marissa's episode.
Yeah.
And people are really going to be sorry. And again, I can say whatever it is that I want. You can lead that horse to water. Obviously, you can't make them drink it. But they are going to be sorry when the time comes and they have to answer for why they didn't do what they did and wasting so much fucking time. So that would be my only peace of mind. It's not a laugh at you type of thing.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen this. And I don't know if it's just me having to go through this and learn this. But you and I both know that when it comes to learning lessons, my guides don't let me skate.
Yeah, it's more like you have the chance to fix it and to do something about it, but you choose not to. I think that's what you have the problem with.
Exactly. That's my problem. You have all the knowledge. You know what needs to be done here. Again, fix it. So going back to the aliens, if I was to be taken to the mothership...
You just want to get probed. Bottom line.
Shut your mouth. You're so disgusting. It's horrible, you guys. But if I was to get abducted or taken or got the opportunity to witness what was going on here and I came back with a message, I would be really hesitant or reluctant to speak on it, because is it really going to make a fucking difference? Does what I have to say going to change the minds or the world?
I think people would just look at you like you're crazy if you really did. You know.
I bet people think I'm crazy now with all these stories that I'm coming up with. That red orb, the green light at Michelle's house, the alien coming into my room making my legs skinny. But this is all real life shit.
No, more so now if you said that. Yeah, you got abducted and here you are. I have a message.
I would hope that they would give me something or put something in me that I can show to the world and be like, here's what they did to me or whatever. Because God knows that when it comes to needles or surgery or having to go to the doctors, I'm the biggest pussy when it comes to it. So I would never think about it. That's why I could never be a junkie. Like, I mean, I could snort lines of meth and smoke it and all that shit and do 20 lines of coke, but coming to...
Just no needles.
No needles. No fucking needles. So I would never think about sticking something in my skin. I don't even have tattoos. I don't even have piercings.
Wow.
I'm going to throw you under the bus. Did you guys know that Jay has his nipples pierced? How about that time? That time that our ex-roommate's cousin from Louisiana, or no, Kentucky, came down to visit, and he was attracted to you.
You love throwing me under the bus. You love watching me squirm.
He loved himself some fucking Jay. And he was trying to flirt with you, and I had told him, because he was talking about piercings and like he likes bondage and all that shit. And I was like, well, did you know that Jay's nipples are pierced? And he was like, what? Your nipples are pierced? He had that Kentucky accent. And he was like, come on, let us see your nipples. Let us see your nipples.
You're terrible. Again, you love watching me squirm, and it's the worst ever.
And then he was trying to lift your shirt up, and you politely swatted his hand away. Jesus.
It was a little uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, you're the one with your nipples pierced.
You're the one that announced it to everyone.
Well, I mean, why hide it if you got them pierced?
It's for myself.
Oh, jeez. You like taking pictures of yourself? You think you're Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs?
What fuck me? You're terrible.
So we talked about aliens. I also want to, I've been dying to share this. So all my witch friends out there, I have a feeling this is a witch-based experience. I'm not sure why I think that. I remember going, or I was driving in Oregon. I was driving from the coast back to Salem where we lived at. And I told you that as I was driving through that forest, when I tell you this, you guys, please, again, don't think I'm delusional. Please don't think I'm crazy. None of that shit. I don't know what this symbol is or who this is or what this represents, but in my mind's eye, I know that sounds crazy, but as I was driving alone. I was not stoned. I was sober as can be, driving back from Lincoln City back to Salem, where we used to live, And as I was crossing through the forest, because it's a whole stretch of forest shit when you're getting back into Salem, and I saw this thing cross the street. It was really, really, really big, but it was made of energy. The reason why I say that is because it was glowing, and it looked like it was made out of lightning or something, but on its head had antlers, and the antlers were like lightning bolts, or like were powered by lightning. So I don't know if you guys know what this is. I've had a couple of people tell me that it was like a forest type of energy or things like that. You guys know I'm not woo-woo. You guys know that I'm not into like love and light type of shit, or like fairies and stuff. I'm nothing against that for those that believe in it here, but I've never witnessed it. I've never seen anything like that. If you guys know what this is, please let me know. It was big. It was huge. It didn't feel shady. It didn't feel ominous. It just felt like it wanted me to see what it was. So again, this is a big type of energy. This is not a person. It looked like it was made out of lightning or electricity. And on top of its head were antlers that were like lightning bolts. It was like a lot of electricity coming out of the top of its head, but resembled the shape of antlers. So yeah, let me know if you guys know what that is. What other ghost stories do I have? What other things can we talk about that I have not mentioned on the show? Oh, I know. I've never mentioned this before. My friend, the one that passed away, the phone conversation that we had where we heard that thing come through on the phone.
Okay.
And then my friend from a long time ago, I was on the phone talking to my friend that passed away, and he was calling me from his house, and we were just sitting there shooting the shit. It was like a Sunday afternoon. He was checking in with me, telling me that what he was doing, like he was meditating and, you know, doing all the spiritual type work or whatever. And we got to talking on the phone, and all of a sudden I heard his phone drop, or somebody snatch his phone, and I heard somebody running, and I heard panting. Like somebody, I swear to God, I thought he got jacked for his fucking phone. And I was saying, hello, hello, hello. And I could hear the person breathing on the other end of the phone, and all of a sudden this interference came in. It reminded me of the old dial-up, like the old AOL dial-up, where you heard the dial tone, it went like that. And there was like an electronic voice that was coming through the other end of the phone, and it was telling me, I think it said, I am no one, or I am someone, and I am here. And it was a very electronic voice, and it was stretching out its words. It was scary as fuck. I hung up the phone because I got scared. My guides, angels, messengers, I don't know what you choose to call yours. I'm just going to say my guides were like, hang up the phone. I got scared. Mind you, I was in the room by myself. It was dark at that time, on the phone talking to him, and got fucking shook. I was scared as all hell. I decided to call him right back to see if what was going on there, to see if maybe that person was going to pick up the phone, because again, it sounded like he got jacked. I called back again. Same shit happened. That interference came in. It was that dial tone type of voice. It was electronic. It was very warbly. That's the only word I could use to describe it. It sounded like a distorted electronic voice coming through, saying the same thing. And then this time it said, he is here. He is here. But it was, again, very electronic. Hung up the phone again and got scared. I could hear my friend on the other end saying, I'll call you back. I'll call you back. So I was like, what the fuck? So again, thinking that it was some sort of ghost, some sort of jacking, but then being able to hear my friend on the other end tell me that he'll call me back. Called back a third time, he picked up, and I was like, what the fuck was that? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, did you hear that? And I said, yes. And he goes, if it happens again, he's like, I'm going to hang up because it scares me. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. Let's hang up. We got to talking, whatever. We were like trying to figure out what it was. I was like, were you under any type of power lines, or where are you at? He's like, no, I'm at the park down the street from my house. There's nothing here. And I was like, what the fuck was that? I'm like, what did you hear? And he described verbatim what I heard. It was a very electronic voice. It said, I am no one, or I am someone, one of the two. And then it said, he is here, in like the stretched out long ass voice. I told you about this, remember?
Yeah.
And scared the shit out of me.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. Remember, his energy was, his was unusual.
Do you think it was like lines being crossed, or is it like something paranormal or out of this world?
It was paranormal. I'm not just saying that because of who I am. It scared the shit. I felt it to my core.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that I've never, ever fucking heard before. This coming from the one that heard the ghosts talking to the dogs from the backyard,
yeah.
The kid ghosts, mm-hmm. that were the kids that were calling or whatever, mm-hmm. on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and were saying the dogs' names in the backyard, and the dogs started barking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you think it's like something?
This was more like the only way I can describe it. It's intelligent and sounded like the old AOL dial-up,
mm-hmm.
like the old internet sound, but using a voice, which made me think of my friend that I used to be friends with a long time ago that told me that she got that phone call in the middle of the night. Everybody dreads a phone call in the middle of the night. I know I do, because you're always thinking, God, who died, right? So she got a phone call in the middle of the night, and she was scared. She wasn't her cell phone. It was the house phone, whatever, which made it even more scary, because who calls a house phone
at
nowadays?
Night. Yeah.
Exactly. At night. And it was, I'm going to say it was around 2 or 3 in the morning. I hate to go there, but that's exactly what she said it was. And she picked up the phone and she said, hello. And the voice responded back saying, hello. And she said, who is this? And the voice said, who is this? And she said, no, seriously, who is this? And the voice kept repeating back what she was saying. And she said, because she's very intuitive in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
She has gone through some shit. She's witnessed paranormal type shit. She's witnessed some weird lights up in the sky. I'll have to get into that in another episode because we don't have enough time for this one. But she is somebody that I definitely believe when she talks about shit like this.
Yeah.
She's not fucking crazy. At least she's not anymore. She wasn't at that time. But so I was talking to her and I was like, well, what did you get from it? She said, I kept feeling like I should not say my name.
Mm.
She said her guides were telling her that don't tell it your name. And then she said, who is this? And the voice got even more crazier and it was hissing. So it would say, who is this? And she said, I'm going to hang up. And the voice said, I'm going to hang up. And she hung up the phone, started walking back to the room. Fucking phone rang again. She said she was hesitant to pick it up, but she knew that she had to. She said that she just wanted to. Picked up the phone. The voice said, who is this? Again. She didn't repeat what she was saying. She didn't say hello. That's the first thing it fucking said.
I have goosebumps from
scares
you
the
telling
fuck
me this.
Out of me.
So I have
that's
to
why
ask.
I turn my... Guys, if you guys don't know this, I turn my phone off every fucking night.
Do you think it was a crank caller?
No. Her and I... Again, I can tell you this till my face turns blue. Her and I know the difference. It was not a crank caller. There's something unusual about the voice.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then do you think she attracted this type of energy at that point in time?
Not so much as the energy was attracted to her. She's got that type of vibe.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm asking. I was like, yeah. Do you think she attracted that?
I think she attracted it. I think she attracted that vibe. But I've always had like a very woo-woo type of feeling when I would be in her house. I didn't want to be there alone. And I remember looking at the... there was a chair, and I remember some guy shuffling his feet and falling in front of the chair, and she had mentioned that chair was given to her by her husband's grandfather that used to walk with a limp because he had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear him dragging his leg. Isn't that fucking freaky?
That's scary.
Yeah, and I spent the night at that bitch's house, too.
Really?
Did not sleep one fucking wink. I was so
How was the energy of the house? Like, that amazes me.
I kept hearing whispering, who is he? What does he want? What's he doing here? He's a friend of hers. Where is he going? What's he doing? All that type of shit.
I would have fucking ran out the house.
Yeah, and then she had, she wanted me to sleep in the spare bedroom. I ended up sleeping, no, bullshit. In her spare bedroom, she had an old school mirror that she got from, I think it was Mexico. It was very old. It was an antique type of mirror, but she kept it in the closet. That room, I told her, was a room of memories.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not tell me this. I'm like, there's a lot of fucking memories in here, like a lot of old memories. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. I just get weirded out in here. She's like, oh no, I feel good in here. I'm all, what do you have in here? What's stored in here? And she was like, oh, I have an old antique mirror that we got, and I think she said in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, and I have all my old photo albums with my great grandmother. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Memories. There's too much of that shit. So when I spent the night, she's like, oh, you're going to spend the night in the spare bedroom. I said, no, I'm not. I'm sleeping in your son's room. I said, I'm sorry, but he's going to have to sleep in that room and I'll sleep in his bed. So he switched me rooms there, and uh-huh. I just felt more at ease. I don't know why, because it was his room.
Because it didn't have that energy in
there. It didn't have that energy
there.
That's
crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, her house was just off the charts with energy there. I, you know, definitely not a house that I'd want to stay alone in. She's actually another person that I was, I do kind of miss her at times, that we decided to touch hands. We were going to do not a seance, but kind of like an energy exchange to mm-hmm. see, to tap into stuff, almost like being human Ouija boards. And I put my hands out and she put her hands in my hands, and I shit you not, I am not making this up. She had a bar, like a built-in bar in her living room. The keys were on the tile of the bar and they fucking moved across the bar. She could vouch for that shit. She's the one that I went to go do my first medium reading at the cemetery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I still some of these stories that you tell me, I still don't believe that it actually happened. Like, it's so crazy that
I live that shit. Yeah. It you know crazy shit's happened.
Oh, I do, but just like hearing it and then putting myself in that situation, like seeing it happen, uh-huh. is like another story, you know?
Yeah. So I think we are going to go ahead and close out today's episode. I think that we did a fairly good job holding it down together. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up today's episode. For those of you that are wanting a reading, wanting to get more insight into your life, wanting to know what's holding you back, what your life lessons are in this lifetime, not past lives, but what's holding you back in this lifetime, feel free to reach out to get a half an hour session or an hour long session, whichever you're most comfortable with. You could book that session directly at chrismedina.guide. Again, that's chrismedina.guide. Sign up for a quick half hour session or an hour long session. Let's shoot the shit. Let's find out what's holding you back. For those of you that want to get a better look at me to see what I'm doing on the day to day, feel free to visit all my social media outlets at Psychic Chris M. Again, that's at Psychic Chris M. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Find out what's going on with me, see what I'm doing over the weekend, see how I spend my time. For those of you wanting to submit ideas for the show, wanting to talk about shit that's happened to you, or wanting me to answer questions of yours, please do not hesitate to email me at askinyourhead@gmail.com. Again, that's askinyourhead@gmail.com for submissions, for ideas, or even just to say hello. You guys know I'm always down to read your emails. Please do not hesitate to reach out. So this is Chris Medina and Jay signing out for today's episode.
Bye.